This is Step One, a podcast about people striving to change their world, our world. We tell you the stories of the Bosch Alumni Network, a network of doers and thinkers connected across the globe, working toward positive change. From Berlin, I'm Benjamin Lorch. And in this episode, we take a taxi to Sarajevo. But before we dive into our story, we want to introduce you to the community this podcast is a part of. It's the Bosch Alumni Network, which consists of people who have been supported in one way or another by the Robert Bosch Foundation. The network is coordinated by the International Alumni Center, a think and do tank for alumni communities with social impact. The IAC Berlin supports this podcast. If you want to know more about the power of networks, visit iac-berlin.org.
It's a Monday morning in early September, and I'm in a cab from Sarajevo Airport to the city center.
You come from?
I'm from Germany.
German?
Yeah.
Wow.
Ja, ja.
Dann reden wir lieber Deutsch.
Ah, du kannst Deutsch sprechen.
Besser als Englisch.
Ja, perfekt.
Emily, an American reporter you might have caught laughing in the backseat, and I, we are here to report on the elections in Bosnia on October the 7th. Sarajevo. I'm new to the city, and I'm also new to reporting from the Balkans. So, what's up with the elections? I ask my driver casually, and he laughs.
Unschiss. Das bis hier.
We're full of it, he says. Nothing new happens. They promise you everything, and then, well, nothing changes.
Versprechen vor den Wahlen viel, Versprechungen nach den Wahlen.
What I know about Bosnia is based on a prep talk I had with Jelena, that's our editor, and from the BBC documentary series The Death of Yugoslavia. It's basically a crash course for foreign reporters. A short history of what happened in the Balkans and in the Bosnian War between 1992 and 1996. The documentary shows how nationalist Serb forces besieged Sarajevo for almost four long years. Almost 14,000 people died during the siege, and more than half of them were civilians. The driver tells me he fled to Hamburg during the war. He was always working, even there, he points out. No social assistance. He headed back home as soon as the war was over. If he had the power in this country, he would get rid of all the old politicians, he says. Let the younger people lead the country. Old politicians brought us nothing. 25 years after the war, and where are we now?
Nichts gebracht. 25 Jahre ist schon nach dem Krieg. Und was, wo stehen wir?
We drive by a campaign billboard. I see an almost bald man grinning. Jelena, she explained me parts of the political system in Bosnia. It's very confusing. Tangled, she says. To a point where I'm wondering if the elections can have any impact on the country, really. We drive on a highway. Sarajevo is to our left. I lean forward and I peek through the window, and the bright sun illuminates the houses and the few skyscrapers patched together like a puzzle. 20 minutes in, the driver pulls over and I ask for his name.
Esad.
Esad?
Yeah.
I'm Yannick, I say. Perfect. So, my trip has begun and I'm only scratching the surface of something that is to me unknown, Bosnia-Herzegovina.
What were your thoughts after that first encounter with the cab driver?
I saw some patterns, such as my vote won't change anything. And also there's this other pattern that people are leaving the country to find something else. And I also felt that Bosnia is complicated because of Bosnia's past, the war, and the ethnic division. To be honest, I even had more questions.
Like what? What else was on your mind?
The feeling that I had when I was talking to the driver, I felt really that he was indifferent about the elections. And what are people of my generation thinking?
And you were there for a study tour on the Bosnian elections organized within the Bosch Alumni Network, is that right?
Right. We were about 12. We were journalists from all over the world, basically. And we were there because four of them, that is Emily, the woman that you heard in the backseat in the car, and Jelena, they organized the trip together with Almir. He's Bosnian, and he secured us like access to all these great sources. We were with the prime minister, for example.
Whoa, all right.
Yeah, and political analysts, younger journalists.
Nice. Sounds like your access was quite good.
It was. And Sarajevo was just completely beautiful. Before it became part of the socialist Yugoslavia, Sarajevo was conquered by the Ottomans, by the Austrians. And you don't really have to be a culture nerd to see this. When you walk around the city center, you stumble across a cathedral, a mosque, a synagogue, and an Orthodox church within the radius of 500 meters. The market stands, they are also pretty exciting. They display stuff like these Bosnian coffee pots. They look like small kettles, but they have like this straight handle. Also, you would find oriental carpets, jewelry, and then there's kapana.
What is kafana?
I don't speak Bosnian, but for me, kafana means having a good time despite all of your worries. So you go into these bars and there's a band playing. They go from table to table basically and play you some songs. And then people start getting up. They love the music. They go up, they dance, and this happens almost immediately.
All right, so it sounds like kafana might be a good place to start exploring the social dynamics.
Well, at first, in the first night, I was more than skeptical. Like, on the second night already, on the second kafana, there was no way escaping it. People were grabbing me. They were like, Yannick, you're going to come? And they were basically inviting me to dance, to sing along. Even I didn't know the lyrics, of course. I don't know Bosnian.
Okay, but there seems like a contradiction between the joy of the kafana and this very social atmosphere and the political sort of frustration, the current political frustration.
Yeah, at first it seemed strange to me too. On my only free day, I set out to explore. And I decided to spend some time with a young woman that we met during the conference. Her name is Naida. She's 22. She's pretty tall, 1 meter 80 or so. She's got light brown hair, and she looks very athletic.
Nice to meet you. We were together after we finished.
We were in the car, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, you were the car.
We head to the cable car of Sarajevo. It's one of Naida's favorite places in the city. Uphill we walk and enjoy the view over Sarajevo. And we chit-chat for a little bit. We walk around with no real destination. And then, maybe 30 minutes or so into our conversation, we find connection. Naida tells me about a terrible accident she had only 5 months ago. It was during a volleyball match.
It was in third set, practically at the end of the game. And I played first two sets. And trainer then said, Naida, you should stay out. We can do that without you. And then when the result in third set was 20-20, he called me to come in, and he told me hugged me and said you should make a poem. Kako znam da je poem isto na engleskom, jel tako? You make a score. You can make a score. We need you now. And I make two scores, and after that, the sada ovo stvarno ne znam kako.
Her ankle twisted so bad that she had to go to the hospital. Naida loved volleyball. She played since she was 9 years old. For her, it was more than just about exercise or success. It was the sense of sisterhood, belonging to a group, having the same goal, and working hard for it.
I sama činjenica da su i cure vjerovali u mene, da ono kad god je neka teška situacija, uvijek je bilo ono, ajde Naida će. Tu je meni davalo snagu. Sorry, I'm a little bit sensitive.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't want to evoke these feelings.
It's heartbreaking, even if I don't understand all the details. Searching for something to say, I ask her, isn't there a goal that Bosnia can pursue as a team?
The best goal for a country should be that no one should be separated in three different groups of people. We have here three ethnicities, Bosniaks, Serbs and Croats. In my opinion, we all should be Bosnians.
Is there a party that corresponds with this idea of unity that Naida has? Who is she voting for?
Well, she's not voting, actually. She told me that on the election day, she would take the ballot paper, she would take a pen and just like cross line over it.
She's going to spoil her vote.
Yeah.
Why would she do that?
Exactly. That's what I asked her.
But why? Like, why is there not one candidate that speaks for you?
I don't think that anyone of them can make something better. They always the same sentences. I will make it better. I will do that. I will do that. I'm better than him. They only talk and don't do anything.
Okay, so Yannick, now tell me, I gotta step back. I know there's this general election, but how exactly does the electoral system work in Bosnia? How does the voting process work?
It all dates back to the Dayton Peace Agreement. It was signed in Paris by the representatives of the international community and by the leaders of the former Yugoslav states in conflict, Bosnia, Serbia, Croatia. The Dayton Agreement put an end to the war in Bosnia that pitted three different ethnicities against each other. It brought peace to the country, but it also changed the Bosnian constitution significantly. Ever since, Bosnia is divided into two parts, the Republika of Srpska and the Federation, which are mostly Bosniaks and Croats.
And what are the basic differences between these ethnicities?
They are mostly religious differences. So the Serbs are Orthodox, the Bosniaks are mostly Muslim, and Croats are Catholic.
All right, and at this point, how independent are these two parts?
Both entities, both parts of Bosnia, the Serb and the Federation, they hold individual parliaments, bureaucracies, and individual courts, which makes the Bosnian administration huge for a country of 3.5 million inhabitants. On the state level, there's another parliament and representatives from the two entities plus the presidency, which is chaired by three presidents, one of each ethnicity. There's a Bosniak president, a Croat president, and a Serb president, with each ethnicity voting for its own president. Did you understand that?
Yes, I did understand it, but now I've forgotten it.
Okay, can you explain it back to me?
No.
Okay, so if you didn't understand all of it now, let me play some tape of how I struggled during the week.
Okay.
This is us. Alexander, a Macedonian journalist, Kemal, he's the photographer that escorted us during the week, and me, we're just passing by a big banner of the SDP party, that's the Social Democrats in Bosnia, and I spot something unusual about it.
But the SDP is the only party that has four candidates on their billboards.
Their candidate, Denis Bacirovic, and he's Bosniak.
Okay.
Because here they can vote only for Bosniak.
Yeah. Ah, okay. So
you cannot vote for a Serbian candidate.
Yeah, of course.
Here.
Ah, but they have different candidates in other in the yeah. Serbian part in the
yes.
Republika
yes.
Srpska.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. But Magazinovic doesn't run because he's not Bosniak.
No, he's
Serb.
Only yeah, only for the parliament.
Yeah. He will run for parliament.
He runs for the parliament.
Yeah. As a Serb in Bosniak territory
yes.
in Sarajevo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's so complicated.
Yeah.
Especially for my German brain. Gesundheit.
Indeed, it seems you were pretty confused.
By now, I understood most of it, but there's still so many details that I didn't get, I fear.
Is this why the people are disillusioned with the political system?
It must be one of the reasons. But honestly, I also feel that it has a lot to do with how politicians are speaking and what they are saying.
Right now we are in a position that people recognize what we are doing, what we did 8 years ago. And we are trying to put accent on our campaign, on topics, what we did 8 years ago when we were on a power. And that's part of our strategy also.
The key political goal that I have is the development, building of the united Bosnia-Herzegovina in which all people and all citizens will be equal in every single part of it. So I believe this is my biggest advantage. The only person, and I can't be modest about this, the only person who has the qualities, negotiation qualities to deal with these things is me.
For me, they sounded almost too similar. Like, I couldn't really tell the differences. Also, their salaries are around 6 times higher than the average Bosnian wage, which is just over 400 euros net. This makes the Bosnian members of parliament the best paid MPs in Europe if you compare them to average wages in their respective countries. And because of that, many feel that one only goes into politics to get rich.
Es gibt junge Leute, die haben Schule fertig und Studien fertig, wissen, die haben keinen Job.
This is also what Esat, you remember the driver that brought me to Sarajevo?
Mm.
That's what he told me, that young people, in order to earn a good salary, they have two options. They either go into politics to earn what they can earn, or they move west to the EU, mostly.
Brauche ich das nicht, aber man kann auch nichts dagegen sagen für die jungen Leute hier.
He also says that with the lack of real options in this country, you can't even blame them.
Ohne Job. Man kann da nichts sagen.
It's the last day of our study trip, and we're meeting this political analyst, Ivana Maric, in a cafe downtown Sarajevo. I ask her about it, about the youth of Bosnia. I would like to ask you a question about the younger generation, because they told me they are leaving the country because they want to go west, they want to like invest in their futures, because apparently being a hairdresser in Western Europe is still better than being nothing here. How do you explain that?
I don't agree that you can live better as a hairdresser somewhere else here. You can live really nice here if you're a hairdresser, if you like to do that. People think they don't even try here. I mean, especially people with a university degree. I think that we need really some change of mentality here. They say, I'm going to live abroad in Germany, but you have to work hard there to succeed. And they even didn't even try. We have.
And then one journalist of our group, Alexander, he's an investigative reporter from Serbia, he bursts out. He's sitting in the back, so it's hard to understand him, but he's angry about Maric's view on the mentality of the people.
I have a problem. Many people from our region, especially in Serbia, I hear it very often, to put after 30 years of ruining these countries in this area, And in the end, now we are putting blame on the common people. You know, that's really bothers me, because that same people was very good after 1945 until 1919. The same people were building, our grandfathers and parents were building this country. And they were very hard worker, very good scientists. It was a good life. And after 30 years of wars, sanctions, killing each other, ruining the system and corruption, at the end, all we need now to blame the people.
No, I understand what you said, but it's I don't like to be a victim. We are not victims, actually. If you vote for somebody for 20 years, then you are not victim. And we all have this mentality. No, it's option to fight here.
This goes back and forth for 5 minutes or so.
I really disagree.
I see.
People are very aware that they're living in the corrupted system.
But why
they don't have
they
any hope
it?
Because the professor from university are quiet, the judge are corrupted, yeah. Policemen are corrupted, politicians are on the top of this pyramid, and we accept for the common people to do what?
Actually, I was never a victim, and I don't want to.
Until then,
I can change something.
It ends. As we walk out of the cafe, I have the chance for a quick chat with Alexander, who still seems to be agitated by the discussion.
You didn't like her?
No. I'm almost becoming mad when I hear this opinion, you know. All we need is to put the blame on the common people, you know. You're not good enough, you don't work enough. It's pure neoliberal thoughts, you know.
Yeah.
Like treating people like slaves. Exactly, you know. They don't have any rights. Every institutions in this country are ruined and corrupted. And what do you need, you know? What's next? Work harder. What does it mean, work harder? You know?
It's not normal that young people from Bosnia go to Germany and become good workers, and that the same young people in Sarajevo are not good workers.
In the evening, on that same day, I meet up with Almir, who lives and works in Sarajevo. He's one of the organizers of the study tour. And in the car, we start discussing the argument that Ivana Maric and Alexandra were having earlier.
It's not normal because it's the same person in Germany and in Sarajevo. It's same mentality and everything, but when someone goes to Germany and become the worker in some manufacturing or so on, he has some kind of system. Main thing is perspective. Why perspective? The young people in Germany and in Bosnia are same young people, but only one difference is because young people in Germany can see and predict and make plans for next 10 years. In Bosnia, the young people are living day for day.
Almir, like many others, blames the generation of his fathers and grandfathers for the current situation in the country.
They destroy the country, like in privatization, in stealing from the tenders and so on. My generation is still coming. I believe that generation would love country more than few generations earlier. I have to find parking place.
Let's get the parking place.
But I have to leave this to my friend who is working on parking. He is night shift, and he probably work for 150 euros for months.
Does that sadden you?
Yeah, but it's sudden that it's problem because we are something like unhappy society with great potential. We are hedonist. We like to be hedonist. Especially we like to drink coffee, look on the city, on the viewpoint and so on, enjoy it. But believe me, sometimes we have to be fighters.
Come on.
We we walk through the center of Sarajevo. The sun has set and the streets fill up with people. It's a Thursday night, and Almir leads us to a shisha place with lots of wooden benches outside. There's pop music playing in the background. The air is filled with the sweet flavor of mint shisha, and he orders us a pipe. For the first time during that week, I'm relaxing.
In the car, we were talking about fighting the fight, like Bosnian. You were saying basically that Bosnians have to keep fighting the fight. What is your personal fight?
I don't know. Right now, I don't know. Why? Because it's very tough question for young generation in Bosnia. Why? We are not so stupid generation. We know what's happening in the world. We know new techniques. We have some jobs. Someone have good jobs like me. We have friends in all parts of the world. We understand differences between East and West. We understand what Russia wants here. We understand how US is powerful. We understand that we want to EU, not because we are in love with EU, no, because we are Europeans.
Right, potential EU membership, a whole other layer.
That's the topic that has been whizzing around every conversation in that week. Europe, the EU. Bosnia is waiting for its candidacy status for quite some time now. It's the one thing that nearly everyone in this country can agree on.
But could Bosnia join the EU anytime soon?
Not really. The EU says that Bosnia has still a lot of quote-unquote homework to do. This is mainly fight against the corruption in the country and the organized crime. It's the reform of the justice system and the reform of the public administration.
Joining the European Union and NATO is the only solution for Bosnia and Herzegovina at this moment and for all our future.
Edin Kukavica is a publicist and the director of a cultural center in Sarajevo.
Unfortunately, it will take more time than we like to talk about.
In his books, Kukavica describes a revolution within the people that for him is a first step towards a prosperous Bosnia. I got the chance to interview him after a group meeting.
That revolution that I'm writing about is, first of all, revolution inside the people, inside the persons, and in every ethno-nationalist corpse, every national corpse. Revolution among the Bosniaks, revolution among the Serbs, revolution among the Croats, among the whoever else exists here. Just to think about Bosnia as our home country, as our home in full meaning of that word. Not to think about a Republic of Srpska Federation of Bosnia and Herzegovina, Bosniak entity, Croatian entity, Serbian entity, and so on and so on. We need that revolution on the level of consciousness and awareness of Bosnia and Herzegovina. This is the first revolution, private, intimate, inside revolution.
So is this their step one, a revolution within themselves?
What I saw is that the young generation is already taking their first step. They're proven to be hard workers, and they're proving to push the system until its limits. While speaking to Almir, Naida, and all the others, I saw a lot of determination, a determination to go forward. And I saw a lot of kafana.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to have to check with Yelena on the real concept of Yafana, but I think I'm starting to get it.
Go check. And while you do that, should we play some more music?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you want to dance?
Sure.
Can I buy you a drink?
I believe these people need something that is like celebrations. For 20 years, we don't have any celebrations, any sports success that we can celebrate, any cultural thing that we can celebrate and be proud of. We don't have any Nobel Prize winner in the last 3 decades. Before that, we had maybe 10 people that got Nobel Prize, from the literature to the I don't know, chemistry. And I think the political elites, if they understand this country and these people, should invest and improve some part of society as like a sports. We need something that will bring back the smile on the faces of ordinary people. That's something that we need.
This has been episode 3 of Step 1, reporting by Yana Kanaborn. Our editor is Yelena Pertrich. Our theme music was composed by Niklas Kramer. We have a special shout out to Amir. Why? Because of his catchphrase, "We can arrange this." Almir Shechkanovich, Emily Schultheis, Alexander Georgievich, Alexander Yanov, and our team, we're all part of the Bosch Alumni Network. If you like this episode, be sure to tell your friends about it. We've received a huge amount of positive feedback, and we want to thank you for spending your time with us. We appreciate it. If you want to see pictures of Sarajevo by the official photographer of our study trip, Kamal Softic, and an uncut video of the interview that Yannick did with Edin Kukovica on the political forces in Bosnian politics, visit our website at www.step1.berlin. Also, if you want to help us out, you can rate us on Apple Podcasts and click on your computer and have fun. Remember, the next step is always step one. This is Benjamin Lorch. Thanks for listening.